On your mark, get ready, start.
Broadcasting from California and Delaware, this is the Hard Rocking Trivia Show. And here are your hosts, Mark and Danny.
All right, everybody in podcast land, time for another episode of the Hard Rocking Trivia Show.
Ooh, yippee.
Yeah, before we get started on the bits, I wanted to give a little review of a show my brother and I went to go see last weekend in Atlantic City at the Tropicana. People saying that the economy's down, it's not happening because the place was packed. Totally packed. Even when we're leaving the show at 11:30 at night, it's packed.
The city was packed or the Tropicana was packed?
The Tropicana was packed.
Okay.
Yeah. Driving out of the city, I mean, that's a shithole anyway, so.
Oh, I have no idea. I've never been there, so.
Yeah, it's a dump.
Really?
I mean, the casinos are nice. Well, some of them.
Maybe it's like, maybe Atlantic City is kind of like Reno. I don't know. Reno's maybe like so. A poor man's Vegas. It's not even close to being the same, so.
Oh, yeah. It's not even near what Vegas is, but. Yeah, so we saw Extreme with Living Color opening, and it was a great show.
Okay. First of all, was there a lot of people there?
Yeah, it was pretty crowded. There was this couple sitting, like we were, there was a section of seats, and then the main aisle going across, and then more seats. And my brother and I were sitting in the first row of the second section.
Okay.
So it was great seats. We didn't have to stand. We could sit the entire time, watch a show.
Because you guys are old.
Yeah, because we're old. So, but that brings me to my point. These people sitting in these chairs in front of us, which were the de facto handicap spaces, they were like, you know, they're kind of hobbling up to the seats, and they get sat down. I said, all right, y'all aren't going to be jumping up and dancing all night, are you, getting in my way? They're like, oh, no. We don't even know who this is.
What?
And I'm like, they had gotten comp tickets from the casino.
Oh.
So they had no clue. And I told them, well, both bands are hard rock bands, so it's going to be kind of loud. And the wife goes, oh my.
How old are these people?
Oh, they're probably easily in their 70s.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah. So I look over at my brother. I said, I give them like 3 songs through Living Color to before they're gone.
All right.
So they made it through most of the way through Living Color, and then they were gone.
Okay.
They
couldn't take anymore, huh?
Yeah. They weren't even, they didn't see any of Extreme, but
wow. Okay, I
wasn't expecting them to. So anyway, there were some, you know, you could tell people that had gotten comp tickets from the casino, and other people that were there for the show, like Tony and I. So, and it was Living Color was great.
Okay,
great. They you know, it's the same guys.
Well, yeah, it's the not well the Corey, bass player's different. But,
well, the bass player Doug Wimbish, he's been there.
He's not
a long
the
time.
He's not. Yeah, he's been there forever, but he's not the original. But yeah
but,
three to four.
Yeah, but they were great. Very tight. Corey can sing his ass off. Still, he's really good.
Yeah,
and I had forgotten the song "Glamour Boys."
Oh, really?
I once they played it, I was like, oh man, I love this song. And I've been kind of obsessed with it since. It's such a great song. They played that about halfway through the set. The rest of the songs, except for...
they play Type, you know that song?
No.
Really?
Nope.
That's a big song by them.
Yeah, they played... The only songs I recognized were Glamour Boys and the one they finished with, Cult of Personality.
What about Elvis is Dead?
Nope.
Really?
Yeah.
You sure or maybe you're not familiar with these guys? Or did you play, have you know the song Type?
Yeah.
Okay, and they didn't play
it. Yeah, and They didn't play Letter to the Landlord either, which I love that song.
Oh, okay. So they play more new stuff?
I don't know. I couldn't tell what it was. Maybe I need to go look online and see who or what they played and what albums they're from. But they played about 40 minutes, I guess. They came on a little bit late.
Okay.
The drummer came out right at 8, and then he went back off stage, and they came back about 10 after. So I don't know what was going on. I heard some of the people that worked there talking about they were having sound check issues.
Okay.
Earlier, but still, they came on 10 after 8, and they played till about 8:45.
Okay.
And they were so good, very tight.
I mean, I'm guessing Vernon Reid was a little spectacular.
Oh, yeah. He's great. He looks awkward playing, but he was awesome.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing them because I'm seeing him in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I got to refamiliarize myself. I have the first 3 or 4 albums by them. They don't have that many.
No.
But there's some. I can't believe they didn't play Elvis is Dead. That was a big song.
I'll check and see. Maybe I'll go on the.
Yeah, you might as well see what they go. Yeah, check it. Look it up right now. We got some time.
Yeah.
And while you're doing that, I'll tell everybody about the. We still have our Spotify playlist. You guys can check the show notes there on any of the particular podcast sites. You know, we're on Spreaker, we're on TuneIn, we're on Apple, Google, whatever. All the biggies, Spotify, we're there. Check it out. Look in the show notes for our Spotify playlist. And yes, we don't get any money for them. They're just for your enjoyment, 80s stuff, 70s stuff, all kinds, mostly hard rock and metal. So that's what we like. And some AOR, too. But Danny should be finding this playlist of What Living Color Did any second.
There it is.
Okay, what did they play?
Okay, they played Middleman. Yeah. Leave It Alone, Ignorance is Bliss, Prince cover, Nothing Compares to You.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, that was good. The crowd sang along. White Lines.
Oh, the old Grandmaster Flash song?
White Lines, don't Do It, and Apache and The Message were all kind of like pushed all together.
Well, The Message is also Grandmaster Flash.
Okay.
So White Lines is Grandmaster Flash, too. Obviously, it's going to be rocked up, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Then they did Glamour Boys, Love Rears Its Ugly Head. Then they did Type.
Okay.
And Cult of Personality.
Ah, solid. I'm looking forward to seeing them.
Yeah. And they've changed the set list a little bit from here and there. Some of the other songs, they haven't done these exact same songs every show.
Okay, so like, yeah, so I would
maybe
say
you'll get a different set.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm still looking forward to it because Corey Glover is an amazing singer.
Oh, yeah.
You got to look up the song, was it April Rain? It's a Corey Glover solo song. Oh, my God, it's so good.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Amazing. Okay. So
nice.
Crowd into him?
Yeah. Yeah, they were. And the crowd was, a lot of times opening bands don't have much of a crowd, but they had a crowd.
Good. Well, because
that was good.
Both bands have a lot of similarities in them. They both got a funk element to them.
Yeah.
So.
And amazing guitar players.
Yeah.
And at one point, Nuno comes out and he goes, yeah, I was really afraid to be touring with Vernon Reid. You know, he's a master. And I just said, just take it easy on me, will you? And, Nuno trying to keep up. Are you kidding?
Yeah, Mr. Humble, huh?
Yeah, right. Okay. And then he goes into, like, what was it, Midnight Express?
Yeah.
Okay.
A Flight of the Bumblebee or something.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He did all those.
Yeah. Not surprised. So the crowd stay for Extreme?
Oh, yeah. Crowd, yeah, that was packed for Extreme. I don't know that it was sold out, but it was pretty close.
So how many people... How big is this place? Is it?
I'll say about 2,000 max.
A little smaller than the place up in Philadelphia,
or
a little.
Yeah, yeah, than the Keswick.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe a little bit smaller than that. More of a theater vibe.
Okay.
Yeah. So Extreme comes out, and they start off with It's a Monster, which is awesome lead song.
Yeah.
And there were a couple times that I could tell that they had made a mistake. Like the bass player was playing something a little bit different, and then he went quick right back into what he was supposed to be playing. And a couple little things like that that, you know, made me think, you know, this is the third show of the tour. They're not really super tight right now.
Yeah, you could.
But still, I mean, it's Extreme. They're tight as hell. But
yeah,
just little things here and there. But then they did Decadent Dance, and then they started in some. Then they played Rebel or Hashtag Rebel. Great, great song live.
Okay, I'm really looking forward to the new album stuff live. They play a lot of it.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Yep, they played the night before. They played Hurricane. They did not play Hurricane when I saw them, which was I'm really bummed about because I love that song.
Okay,
but they played Hashtag Rebel, Other Side of the Rainbow, Thicker Than Blood, Banshee, and I don't know any other band that I've ever seen that can get away with playing two new songs in your encore.
Oh yeah,
okay. Yeah, they came back out and played Small Town Beautiful and then went right into Song for Love. And this was for their encore, and Nuno came back out and he played a little bit of Women in Love from Van Halen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was like the anniversary of his death, I think, or something like that.
Okay.
So he played, and Tony looked at me and said, man, Nuno's got Eddie down. And yeah. He did. It was perfect.
Wow.
Yeah. And then they finished with Rise.
Yeah, I'm surprised they played Small Town Beautiful. I mean, it's not one of my favorites on that album.
Yeah.
I like Here's to the Losers, but they won't play that.
No.
I love that song. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but I wasn't super impressed with Gary. I think there were some monitor issues because he had inner monitors and I could see him talking to the monitor guy off stage a lot, and he just sounded a little bit flat in places.
Yeah, well, maybe he couldn't hear himself. That could be the case.
Yeah, but Nuno played Midnight Express, Flight of the Bumblebee, or Wounded Bumblebee, Wholehearted. Of course, they did More Than Words.
Yeah, that's where my wife takes a potty break.
Yes.
I won't be, but she will.
Nah.
Anyway, yeah.
So, but, yeah, they did a whole first album medley, which was really cool.
Like Kid Ego and all those.
Yeah, Kid Ego, Wind Me Up, Teacher's Pet, Flesh and Blood, and then ended with Play With Me.
Yeah, still great.
Yeah, that Nuno is unfreaking real. Just
yeah,
the stuff you see here and playing on the album. He sounds exactly the same live. It's no studio tricks, anything like that. It's real, man.
Seems like there's a little resurgence for these guys a little bit. Don't you feel it?
Yeah. Yeah, you get these guys that can really play as opposed to just the shoegazers or whatever. But, yeah, I think these guys are
good for
I mean, you got a lot of love for Wolfie who can play his ass off.
Yeah, and then so it's nice to see Extreme getting a little bit of notoriety this far along in their career.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Because it's been a long time in between albums, and then they put this thing out, and it's a freaking masterpiece.
Yeah, and, you know, that just proved to me how great this album is when you end the show. Your two encore songs are songs off the new album.
Yeah.
You know, who does that?
Not too many.
No, but
maybe Metallica can get away with that, or somebody like that.
I don't know. Metallica's always going to end with.
Or Foo Fighters can get away with stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, maybe so. I guess. I mean, they ended the main set with "Get the Funk Out," which, all right, that's cool.
Yeah.
And they played "Take Us Alive," which I really like. I love that song.
It's got that cowboy vibe to it, doesn't
totally.
It?
Totally.
So that's probably. Yeah. That's probably the
Pat
only
Badger
song.
Went off, got a cowboy hat, wore that for the song.
That's probably the only song they played off of that album, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know that there's anything Well, let me see.
There's Star, Ghost. I can't see them playing any of that stuff. You can't really replace the porno graffiti stuff. Anything off of the third album they play?
Three Sides? Yeah, they played Am I Ever Gonna Change, Cupid's Dead, and Rest in Peace.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
They always play Am I Ever Gonna Change.
Yeah, that's a great song. They played five songs off Porno Graffiti and five off of the new album.
Okay.
They didn't do anything off Punch. Oh, no, they did Punchline. They did Hip Today and Midnight Express.
Hip Today, I like that song.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Sounds like I'm really looking forward to this.
Cool. I wish they had done There Is No God. I love that song, too, but it'd be a four-hour show if they played Everything I Love by them, so.
Yeah. they're getting up there in age, too.
Yeah. All right, now play the fourth album.
There you go. In its entirety. Now go. All right, well, cool.
Yeah, so go see Extreme.
Yeah, their tour just started, so they're going around the U.S., so get a chance to see them. I think they're playing the whole world after this, too, so. So I know a lot of people listen to this show from Europe and South America. Go check them out. They're great.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're any kind of guitar guy and you haven't seen Nuno, you need to go do that.
And we have listeners in the Philippines, so maybe they'll come to the Philippines. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, on that note, let's jump into a little bit of rapid fire.
Rapid fire. Here we go.
We're going to play some rapid fire where Danny and I fire three questions each at each other, and you at home get to answer all six. So play along with us wherever you are. If you're in your car, at grandma's house, in the dungeon.
See if you go 6 for 6, because we never do.
Yeah. Though we might this time, because Danny and I were talking before the show, and I don't think our questions are that hard this week.
So. Yeah. Now, we never give each other the answers beforehand, so these are all just first time hearing them.
Yeah, because we like stumping each other and making the other guy look stupid. We enjoy that because we're sadists.
Yeah, and plus we've been doing it 40 years, making each other look stupid.
Yeah, why change? All right, you ready, Danny?
Yeah, here we go.
Question number one. What do the Osmond brothers and the Irish band The Mama's Boys have in common?
Ooh, they're all brothers?
Correct. All biological brothers. Correct.
Yes. Nice.
That was an easy one.
Yeah, the McManus brothers. I wonder. One of them died, right?
The drummer and the youngest one died, I think, at age 28. I think leukemia or something like that. Something awful. But, yeah, the other two, the older brothers are still around. But Mama's Boys are no longer with us. So.
Yeah.
Good band, though. I saw them live once at the Reseda Country Club. Really tight.
Nice. Yeah, you would think a band of brothers would be really tight. Probably sing great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that reminds me, the day we're recording this is the day that Toby Keith died.
Yeah, I'm not a big country dude. Not a huge fan, but I like the dude. And I hear him talk in interviews. But yeah, what did he have, cancer or something like that?
Yeah, stomach cancer. And he was a big dude, but apparently he wasted away to nothing. And we saw him probably 3 or 4 times at different, like at the Delaware State Fair, things like that. And he was always entertaining.
Yeah, Ted Nugent put out a thing. He said he was really bummed out. I guess they were good buddies. So rest in peace, Toby Keith. You will be missed in the country community. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Question number one for you. How many cover songs did Van Halen release on studio albums?
Oh, good God. A lot.
Yeah. It's a higher number than I would have thought, but, well, actually, it's about what I would have thought, I guess.
All right. I'm not going to sit here and go through each album, so I'm going to guess a number. I'm going to say 12.
No, close. It's 9.
Oh.
Though there were 5 just on Diver Down.
Yeah, that was one they wanted. The record company wanted to get something out really fast.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't realize they're all covers. Some of them were obvious covers, but, you know, Where Have All the Good Times Gone by the Kinks? Not too many people knew that song. But,
yeah.
But Dance in the Street, everybody knew.
Yeah, I don't know that many people know that You're No Good is a Linda Ronstadt song, but
yeah,
it's not even close to the original, but great song.
Yeah, I knew it.
Yeah,
because I was a Linda Ronstadt fan. I was in love with her in the 70s. Oof.
Well, everybody was. Jeez. Oof.
Yeah, she even dated the governor of California.
Yeah, at the time. Well.
Yeah.
That's big time you're that hot.
She was hot. Love those Latinas. Okay.
All right, so you were close, but the answer is 9.
Oh, okay, so I'm 0 for 1 already. Here we go. Question 2 for you. You may have asked this question of me, but I'm going to ask it to you. I don't even know. Okay, so in 2012, Billy Sheehan toured with an all-instrumental supergroup called PSMS. What do the letters PSMS stand for? Did you ask me this one?
No.
Okay, so what is
it? If I did, I don't remember.
PSMS.
And
if you know anything about Billy Sheehan's history, I mean, you'll probably get what the P stands for, what the S stands for. I don't know. We'll see.
What was the year?
2012. And it's the last names of the four guys in the band. So PSMS. Yeah. So what do you think?
Well, it's for sure Sheehan.
Yes, that's one of the S's.
Is P Portnoy?
Correct. All right, it's 2.
You
got an M and an S.
Is S Soto?
No. But same, all right. Same band.
Sheridian?
Yeah, Sheridian. What's the M?
Oh, crap. It's going to be a guitar player. The guy from Dream Theater. Crap, what's his name? I have Mike Portnoy on the brain. Petrucci.
John Petrucci. Nope, incorrect. It's an M. It's Tony McAlpine.
Ah, dang. I wouldn't have gotten that.
Yeah. Killer players, but
oh yeah,
so yeah.
Jeez,
so I'm glad you didn't know that one. Good, so you got one wrong. Thank goodness.
Okay.
I thought for sure you're gonna nail that one. All right, so you're
all right,
one.
So
for
I'm one
two.
For one.
You're one for two.
One for two. Yeah, one for two. All right, here. Question two for you.
All right.
What is Cheap Trick's highest charting studio album? So that takes Budokan out of the mix for the most part.
I'm gonna say Dream Police.
That is correct.
Yes.
Yeah. What? Any idea what number it got to?
I'm going
to
say 4.
6.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, you got that question, so.
All right, good. Woo, so we're both 1 for 2. Coming into home stretch, I think this one's an easy one, too. Question 3 for you. Phil X has been a replacement guitarist in 2 major bands. Name them.
I know he was in Bon Jovi.
Yep. Still is.
I'm going to say, wasn't he in Ozzy?
Incorrect. Wow, I'm surprised. He was in Triumph.
Oh.
He recorded 1 album with Triumph.
I'm not a huge Triumph fan.
I'm not a huge one either, but I've been making, I got my iTunes playlist. Now I got an Apple phone, so I got to use iTunes again. So I'm doing a whole Canadian rocks.
Oh, jeez.
Playlist. And so I've been getting all these bands, and I've been going through all their albums. So I took all the Triumph albums, and I'm doing pretty – I like them more than I thought I would. Just check out some of the bands. I'm going to name these. I've been listening to all these Canadian artists here. Let me go through this. My Canadian rocks list. All right, so here's what I've been putting on here. Aldo Nova, April Wine, Chilliwack, Coney Hatch, Frank Marino. I listened to 3 Frank Marino albums, and they all kind of sound the same. Not a big fan. Great guitar player, but eh. Harum Scarum, Harlequin, Helix, Honeymoon Suite, Kick-Ax, Loverboy, Moxie, Pat Travers, Platinum Blonde, Prism, Rush, Saga, Streetheart, Toronto Triumph Trooper.
Okay.
Is that enough Canadian bands for you?
That's enough.
Yeah.
More than enough, really.
I got a couple more that I'm putting in there, but I haven't got to them yet.
All right.
So I'm going through all the Rush albums and picking the Rush songs I like, so I get this master giant Canadian thing. I didn't realize I like Prism a lot more than I thought. It's like, okay. These guys ain't bad. And some of them, like Frank Marino, I'm like, I'm not digging this. Pat Travers is hit or miss as well. There's some killer Pat Travers, and then there was some like, ooh, this is not good. But it's funny. You ever seen the movie Valley Girl? Probably with Nicolas Cage a long time ago.
Yeah, I think I did a long time ago.
Yeah, there's a scene where he walks into this seedy club in Hollywood, and there's this music playing. I'm thinking, I never knew who it was, and I listened to the Pat Travers album. I'm like, that's Pat Travers. Holy crap. And it's a song I like, but I just didn't know it was a Pat Travers song in a Valley Girl movie. But anyway.
Wow, okay.
So I discovered something I liked. I didn't know it was Pat Travers. But yeah.
Anyway. All right.
Okay.
Well, when you're picking Rush songs, put Time Stand Still on there.
It's in there. I've already done all the Rush. That's definitely in there.
Well, if it wasn't in there, you'd need to go back and revise that because that's my favorite Rush song.
Yeah, so I had to go through and albums I wasn't familiar with and listen to all of them. So even the latest ones I didn't know. It's like, okay, well, this one sounds good. I'm going to keep that one. So just
there's some great stuff on Vapor Trails and Clockwork Angels.
Yeah, true. That I didn't know. So yeah.
All right, question three for you. Let's see if you get this right. You will win the day.
All right.
All right. So what band's debut album was Ted Templeman's debut production gig?
I'm gonna say Montrose.
No, that is incorrect. It was the Doobie Brothers.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
All right. I was close.
Yeah, he actually brought them to the studio.
Okay.
Or to the record company.
It's funny, when you think of Ted Templeman, you don't think of the Doobie Brothers, but okay.
No. Or Nicolette Larson.
Oh yeah. A lot gonna take a lot of love. Oh, why do I know that? I don't know.
Why does anybody?
I knew that song, and she had long hairs and it was braided. That's all I can remember.
Yeah.
Another one I couldn't stand from that era was Ricky Lee Jones. Chuck E's in Love. Oh, I hate that song. Well, how'd that become a hit? I don't know. Boy, we're really super geeky today, aren't we? Jeez.
Yeah, really? What the heck?
I don't get it. So, yes, people out there, we are total music geeks. What else we got to do, huh?
Yeah,
our team's got their asses kicked, and they're no longer in the playoffs. So.
Yeah, so we don't care about the Super Bowl.
I honestly don't care at all.
It is pretty impressive that, you know, Taylor Swift makes it to the Super Bowl after only being in the league for about 6 months.
Wow, she's amazing. Quite the wide receiver.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Try the veal.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I guess I'm kind of pulling for the 49ers. I'd like to see a guy named Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, win a Super Bowl. I guess that would be the only reason, but I don't really care either way. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not. I might watch it.
I'll have it on. My wife's gonna have a Super Bowl party. I was like, but they like to watch the commercials because they could care less about the game. I'll watch the game and have some snacks. That's about it.
Yeah, if there's wings, I'll watch.
Ooh, wings! Yes. It's protein, right? There you go.
That's right.
Yeah, I gotta stick with the proteins. Okay. On that note, let's go to a quick commercial break, and we're gonna do some. What are we gonna do? Oh, we're gonna do Who the Hell Is This? Okay.
All right.
Now it's time to play Who the Hell Is This?
All right, everybody, welcome back. Time for a little bit of Who the Hell's This? Where we play four 10-second clips and we got to try to figure out who they are. So,
yeah, just the artist.
Yeah, just the artist. I think I have a pretty good one for you.
Alrighty.
So why don't you go ahead and play clip number one?
All right, everybody out there, play along with us because I haven't heard this and this is all new for you as well. So hopefully this is a good one. All right, here we go.
Hello.
Now, it doesn't sound familiar. The production is not the greatest there.
No.
No. So it sounds like early 80s. I don't have any clue, so I'm going to say Diamond Head.
No, but you're not too far off. It's from 1980.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, you're not too far off with Diamond Head.
So that's 1980 is our first clue. So let's play track number two. Here we go. Wow. That is really crap production.
Yeah. This is kind of like a, it's a debut album, kind of a, almost a demo from what I've read, but, they recorded it in like 4 days.
Oh God. I don't know why this pops in my head. I'm sure it's wrong. Is it Vargas?
No, that is incorrect.
Okay. I don't even know if that's, is that a band?
Vargas?
Yeah. I just popped in my head. I don't know why.
No.
I mean, I'm sure you've never heard of Vargas and I don't even know. It just, that's weird that that would pop in my head. All right. So that'd been funny if it was somebody named
Vargas. I'd lose it then. But this was, this band is considered part of the new wave of British heavy metal.
Yeah, I figured that based on the way it sounds, but I don't know.
And being, you know, being close to Diamond Head.
Yeah. So, okay, here we go. Track three. Wow, that's awful. Awful production. Oh, how about Tokyo Blade?
Ooh, no. Not a bad guess, but no.
Yeah, but Tokyo Blade sounds better than that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, this band's later albums definitely sounded better.
Okay.
I mean, this is kind of a kind of like Soundhouse Tapes from Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
You know, this is kind of the same type of deal where their debut album came out the following year and it's way better.
Okay. All right, here we go. Track four. This is my final attempt at this.
I'm around.
The only thing that comes to mind, Tigers of Pantang.
No, not too far off on that either. This is an Irish band.
Irish band. Is it Sweet Savage?
No.
Irish band. Oh. Wow. Mama's Boys, but is that Mama's Boys?
Yep.
Holy That's crap. It. And we talked about the Mama's Boys earlier.
Yeah, we talked about when you brought that up earlier, I'm like, oh, geez.
Yeah, well, I sent that to you, their first album. I haven't listened to it yet.
Well, you sent me it's like a 5-disc box set. And yeah. This was the first album in that box set.
Yeah, that's a demo album for sure. Yeah, I haven't listened to that. And it's funny because I just got a hold of a bunch of Mama's Boys releases. Well, I like the Mama's Boys, but I haven't heard that early stuff. So
Yeah, this was before their first album. So
wow.
There you go.
You stumped me.
Darn. All right.
Yeah, I got.
Well, that's kind of the plan.
Well, I got some better Mama's Boys albums gonna be coming your way here within the next couple of days. So, just letting you know there.
Their song "Needle in the Groove" is one of my favorite, just from that era.
Yeah,
of anybody.
"Runaway Dreams" and oh, so good.
Yeah.
"Power and the Passion" is a great album. That's probably their best one.
Yeah, that was the only one that charted, but that's definitely a great album.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that was a good one.
All right. So let's see what you have for me here.
Okay. I'm not sure I'm going to stump you on this. It's a band you know, but I don't know how familiar you are with it. So good luck with this one.
We're going to find out. Let's go.
Yours is more deep than mine was.
Oh, man, that definitely sounds familiar.
Oh, it should.
I can hear the vocals coming. Is that Winger?
It is not Winger. All right, your first guess is this came out in 1987 on a major label.
Better not be a damn Canadian band. Let's see. Okay. I think that's Helix.
You are correct.
Yes. That guy's voice is very distinct, and I love it.
Yeah, do you know the song? I mean, you got it right already, but do you know the song? It's a cover.
I don't.
Okay, well, go ahead and play track three. See if you can get who the original artist is. Because this is one of those weird things where the original artist put the song out after the cover.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
She's no angel?
No. Now go to the number four.
She's too tough?
Yep. Came out in 1993 on the Retroactive album by...
Is that Def Leppard?
Def Leppard. So, wow. So this song, She's Too Tough, was actually written by Joe Elliott and was part of the Hysteria sessions, but it didn't make the album.
Really?
Yeah, so they
gave it to Helix.
Helix, you know, Helix needed a song, and they recorded it, and 6 years later, Def Leppard put it out in the Retroactive album. It's a good song.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like it.
But, you know, I could have put in that. They should have stuck that on there. There's a couple of songs on Hysteria I could do without, but just a couple. But
yeah,
I could see that fitting. Maybe they just didn't think it fit with the vibe. I don't know.
Maybe so.
Because that's more of a dirtier, you know.
More that. I don't know that it would have fit on Hysteria because that's a lot more polished.
Yeah, and She's Too Tough is not really that polished. It's more of a harder edge.
Yeah, it would have been good on one of their first two albums for sure.
Yeah, so. Okay, well, you got that one quickly, so you definitely won that round.
All right, so I'll take double the money since I only used half of the ones of the clues you gave me.
So you are killing it. So so in Rapid Fire, we tied, right? Or did you?
Yeah, we each got one.
We tied, so you took Who the Hell Is This? And we're next bit we're doing, there's no winner or loser. It's just we're playing something fun. So we're going to jump right into this. We're going to play top three, bottom three. And we may have done this. We don't remember. We
haven't done this specific artist.
Okay.
I know.
We're going to do top three, bottom three songs from the first four Cheap Trick solo albums in the 70s. And that's the self-titled one, In Color, Heaven Tonight, and Dream Police.
Yep. I mean, and I will say that we talked about when Mark first brought it up, the idea of this one up, he said the first three albums. And then he said, why don't we include Dream Police? And I thought, Dream Police to me is a big departure from the first three albums. They took a big step up.
Okay. So just on that note, if you right now, just off the top of your head, rank the four Cheap Trick albums in your order, best to worst. Let's see if they're the
best
same.
To worst, Dream Police for sure. Going through this, I realized I really like Heaven Tonight.
Uh-huh.
And In Color, I think it would be next, and it's great, and their self-titled would be next, even though I think that's a great album, too. I don't think there's a lot of filler on that, like a lot of first albums do.
Okay, so I'm close. My favorite was Heaven Tonight. Then it's tough between Dream Police and In Color for me. I would say give Dream Police the slight advantage, In Color, and then the first album.
Yeah.
Even it's not bad, but I think they got better as they went along. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so on that note, we're going to do top three, bottom three. So I struggled with the top ones. The bottom three was easy for me, but the top ones, there were so many good songs.
Yeah, So. I was writing down a list, and I have my top three were easier than my bottom three. I had a bunch of stuff that I'm like, what the hell is this?
All right, so here's how we do this. We're going to start with the top, the number three, then I'll give one, then Daniel give one, and then we'll go 2-2, 1-1. Then the fun begins where we go over the songs we don't like as much. So, all right, so I'm going to go start with number three, the third best song from these four albums. I wrote Surrender. Mommy's all right.
Okay.
Which, you can't go wrong with Surrender. I think the only reason it's not number one is maybe I've heard it one too many times. But even going through all these albums, I listened to in the car yesterday. I went through all four albums. Like, man, I love these albums.
Yeah.
And Surrender was number three for me. So.
See, for me, the I Want You to Want Me and Surrender and those ones that are so played off of Budokan, I didn't really consider any of those.
Okay.
Like Surrender... I've played that probably 150, 200 times, and it's a great song, no doubt. But, you know, I'm just, I didn't include any of those just for that reason. I think maybe they're over, I'm over them.
And it's funny because listening to the studio cuts of like, I Want You to Want Me and Clock Strikes 10, and I realized I like the live versions better.
Oh, absolutely.
On almost all of them. Not every one of them, but for sure, I Want You to Want Me.
Yeah, they're a little, some are a little, some are a lot faster, and they just have way more energy.
Yeah, Clock Strikes 10 is great on the live album, and then the solo album, it's, parts of it are great. It's like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so what's your number three?
All right, so my number three top song is Mando Cello. Love that song.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
What's the
I was going through listening and I got to that one like, oh yeah. I love this song.
Is there something with the bass in that? Is there something different about that song, guitar playing or bass that's different?
It's the bass. He's just the mix of the bass is different. It's a lot more mid-range.
Okay.
Than he's playing it. And that's playing the 12 string bass that he's known for. So it's got a lot different sound.
Yeah, that one, I can't argue. It's a great song.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, that's one you forget about because it never got any radio airplay. But when you listen to it on the album, like, wow.
This yeah.
is freaking great.
Wow. And that 12-string bass, it's actually three strings for each of the main, you know, bass is usually four strings. Well, they tripled it on a 12-string bass. So he's actually playing three strings at the same time.
Is it just to fill the sound out? Because if,
yeah.
Especially if there's not... Because Robin didn't always play rhythm guitar, and lots of times he doesn't. So I'm
right.
going to guess the 12-string just fills the sound when
Rick's yeah, because usually on a 12-string, like a regular 12-string guitar, you're doubled up all six strings, and one is an octave higher than the other. And on a bass, a 12-string bass, you have two at one octave and one at a higher octave.
Have you ever played it?
Not a 12-string, no. I played an 8-string bass where they're all doubled, but...
Is it hard? A lot harder?
It takes... You got to pay attention to what your left hand's doing.
Okay.
You know, because you got to press both strings instead of just, you know, not even thinking about doing one string. You have to... I think playing three would be tough.
Okay. Well, the guy's been doing it his whole career, so it's probably super easy for him, though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Going in number two...
I bet we're not going to have any of the same.
I don't know. This one is not on Budokan.
Okay.
It's on In Color. It's Downed.
Yeah, I like that song.
Yeah. It's another one, like, your number three. I never skip that one. Love it.
Yeah.
And Robin is great on that song. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Does not suck. But I'm curious if one of my top is going to be in your bottom. Has it happened yet?
I don't know.
Okay. Not yet. Okay.
Not yet. I think we did have it one time where your top song was in my bottom three.
Yeah.
And you were like, what?
Yeah. Well, you know what? We don't always, we think similar, but now we're not all exactly the same. All right. Here we go.
All right. For my number two top three song, I'm going a little bit more popular. I'm going with Dream Police.
Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, great, great song. Just, I like the whole idea of it.
You know,
the story of the song is really cool.
The video's great, too, if you haven't seen the video. And that whole middle section with the orchestra in the middle is something isn't done very often, even back then.
Right.
Yeah, just great. What can you say? It doesn't suck. Kind of nice to do this when it's bands we really like. And we've seen
Cheap Trick. If we have the same number one, I'll freak out because there's no way.
All right. Mine is off okay, my number one is off of Heaven Tonight. Is yours?
Okay.
Is it?
I believe it is.
All right. It's a German word. Auf Wiedersehen. It's my number one. Love it. Live, it's great. Is it your number one, too?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
That's hilarious.
Suicide. Oh, I love the end of that song, too. Just,
oh, man. Suicide.
And I've seen them do it live many times, and it just gets you.
Oh, every single time. I love that song. I love it live. I love it the studio version.
How was that not on Budokan?
I don't know. Maybe it was well, no, because they put out the entire concert.
Yeah, they didn't play it. And they've done it sporadically, but yeah, Auf Wiedersehen. Oh. They never played on the radio. It's not a radio-friendly song. It's probably one of Cheap Trick's heavier songs for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, just get you going. Makes you want to get up. If Cheap Trick had a mosh pit song, that would be it, huh?
You know, I'm listening through to him, and I thought, okay, I know I like Auf Wiedersehen. But then it came on, and I'm like, oh, number one right there. Like when it got through the bass part at the beginning and then went into the song, I'm like, yep, yeah, this number one's done. But I really had problems with the bottom three because
you had a lot.
Well, I wrote down five, so I took three out of those five.
All right, so how about you start with the bottom three? Here's the stinkers, okay, according to Danny and I. They may not be stinkers in your eyes out there, or hey, might even disagree, but who knows? Okay.
Yeah, who knows? All right, my number three, bottom three, was Need Your Love.
Need Your Love. Oh, Your Love. Oh, off of Dream Police?
Yeah, not good.
It's long.
Yeah, it's long and it's slow and just kind of plodding along. No.
And it's a lonely live album.
Yeah, I think I'm trying. Maybe they're trying to be, I don't know. It just seems like a dirge to me.
It reminds me of that Beatles song. Because, you know, Cheap Trick is heavily Beatles influence.
Oh, yeah.
What's that one song that does that toward the end? It's a guitar bass song.
Oh, yeah. It's one of their later songs.
Yeah. Oh, it's actually in the Sgt. Pepper movie, too. She's So Heavy.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that. Well,
that was actually the last song that the four of them recorded in the studio together.
Really? Yeah. Same vibe. And
yeah.
It's moody. I'm sorry. I like it. That's a no for you.
That's a no for me.
Okay. Well, we disagree on that one. That's okay. All right. Number three for me is off the first album. It's called Cry Cry. And when okay. I hear it, I want to cry.
Yeah.
It, to me, it's a total filler song. I mean, I don't hate it, but it's not one I'd go back to because there's some killer songs in that first album. Cry Cry is not one of them.
No. And it's like, what, the seventh or eighth song, and by then you're like, wait, what happened to all the awesome crap you had at the beginning?
Yeah, that's a pee break song for me. And listen to the album. Oh, got it. Yeah.
Now, yeah.
Cry Cry. Yeah. But it's not, I don't hate it. Your song I like more than mine. But.
Okay.
All right.
Next one for me is How Are You? I think that's off of, it's off In Color.
Hello, how are you? Is it Heaven Tonight, I think. But I know the song.
But it's another slow song, which.
That's not a slow song. That's a poppy, happy song. Hey.
Didn't do it for me.
It's got the little piano thing. Hello, how are you? Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that song. Sorry. Yeah, to me, that's like a, I can see Jellyfish doing that song. It's a poppy, happy song.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's also got kind of a 1920s kind of, yowza, 20s kind of vibe to it, too. Okay.
I ought to pound you.
Yeah, you see there, Slim.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, I can see why you don't like that one. I get it. I like it, but. Oh, now my number two, you might disagree with me, because we brought this song up in the past, during a different bit. It's on the first album. It's called "Daddy Should Have Stayed in High School."
Yeah, not. I'm not a fan either.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea, some interesting lyrics, because I think you did it for intellectual poetry.
Yeah.
Some wacky, funny lyrics, but the song just kind of sits there like a turd on snow just steams there. I don't know. Yeah.
All right.
Nice visual, huh? Ooh.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, so not one of the... Go ahead.
That was in my list of songs that could have made my list, you know, because I was writing the ones down that I didn't like. That one and Speak Now or Forever Hold Your Peace, I'm not a big fan of that song either.
Yeah, I listened to that one a couple times, and I said, well, that one's a little better than the first two I picked. So
yeah,
you won't hear that from me. But I have a feeling that your number one and my number one are going to be the same again.
Well, I don't think so, because you've already mentioned my number one, which is Cry Cry.
Oh, okay. So Cry Cry is the one you hate the most. Okay.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm shocked that you didn't pick the one I picked. Okay.
Now, hate the most is hard, because none of these are terrible songs. I mean, we picked some real shit before, but.
Yeah, I'd say they're more filler.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's parts of Cry Cry. They're decent parts of the song, but then there's other parts that I could do without.
Yeah.
Same thing with Daddy Should Have Stayed in High School. The lyrics are kind of funny, but the song doesn't do anything. Okay, so what do you my number one comes off of Living Color. In Color. Not Living Color. In Color.
In Color. I can't even guess.
It's You're All Talk. I don't think that song sucks canal water.
That's on my list too of songs that I wanted to pick for my three. But
yeah, that one's the worst song on In the Loving Color, and it's the worst song on these four albums by a landslide.
Yeah, that's not a good song.
Dumb lyrics. It sucks. It's terrible.
Yeah.
And it's funny because Cheap Trick's got a lot of these compilation albums and box sets of demos that they had around those times, and there's songs that are way better than We're All Talk that should have made the album but didn't, but that one did. What the hell?
Oh, dudes, come on.
Yeah, I mean, and we're not bashing Cheap. We like Cheap Trick quite a bit, so you know, maybe we should go do the 80s Cheap Trick. I mean, there's gonna be a lot of stinkers in there, but
there's some great songs too.
So, yeah, that's an idea. Maybe next time let's do the next four Cheap Trick albums, because
there's
some killer songs in there, and then there's some absolute garbage. So maybe next episode we can do the next four albums. But then, yeah, when you get to the 90s, there's some not-so-good albums.
We're gonna have a hard time finding three great songs in the 90s, I think.
I think there are some good ones, but then there's more bad ones than good ones as they went along. So.
Is Woke Up With a Monster from the 90s or is that 80s?
That's 90s. I know All Shook Up is in there. One on One, which we saw that tour.
Yeah.
Next Standing, position, Standing on the Edge. I think it's those four, what we just named. So Standing on the Edge, All Shook Up, One on One, and Next Position, Please. There's a lot of good songs on those.
Oh, yeah.
But there's also some bad ones, though. So.
I think my favorite Cheap Trick song is on the, well, if it's not off Wiedersehen, it might be one of these.
Okay.
I
love getting back into that, checking it out.
All right.
Cool. Hey, you brought up something to me on a message a while back. You wanted to try something.
Yeah, I want to try. It's a new bit. I haven't worked it out at all, but I'd like to, it's kind of like a take on 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, but kind of like do a 6 Degrees of Separation for rock stars like David Bowie and, I don't know, Alex Van Halen.
Oh, my God. That one sounds like it'd be difficult. Then you got to figure out all the guys that David Bowie's played with. Shoot, I don't know.
You could say Stevie Ray Vaughan played on Let's Dance.
Okay.
He's the guitar solo on Let's Dance. So who played with Stevie Ray Vaughan was in Double Trouble.
You lose me there with Stevie Ray Vaughan. I don't know who was in Double Trouble.
But then his brother was in the
That would work. Birds. Oh, I got one for you. This one's kind of an easy one if you know the history. Can you link Aldo Nova and Kip Winger?
No.
I can do it really easy.
Okay.
Paul Taylor played with Aldo Nova, right?
Okay.
In his first album. And Paul Taylor was in Winger. See, that's an easy one.
Well, that's an easy one, yeah. Or you could do Nuno Bettencourt and Eddie Van Halen. You know,
Gary Cherone.
Gary Cherone sang in both bands. So, but you know, we'd pick something a little bit harder, and one of us would work it out, and then see if the other could.
Yeah, that was. I think we'd have to give that to us in advance and see if we could do it, because there's some guys who's played with everybody, like a Rudy Sarzo, who we can kind of link up, or anybody's been.
And maybe we find out who the Kevin Bacon is of rock. You know, is it Rudy Sarzo? Is it Doug Aldridge?
Yeah.
Brian Tichy.
Some of these guys, Jeff Pilson or George Lynch. Oh, it's tough.
Huh. But you would get these guys that have been in so many bands and you could put a link to them.
Yeah, maybe we could do that. We could. Danny and I would like maybe take a show, take two guys, and then come back the following week and see if we could actually link them.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty hard to do because I don't think we could do it off the top of our heads.
That would be another part of it, is that one of us come up with one and work it all out. And then see if the other one could work it out.
But in, over a show, it'd be pretty tough because we'd have to do some research on some of these guys. I mean,
some of them, yeah. But I think after a while, it may be like, okay, well, he's linked to Rudy Sarzo here, and then we know Rudy Sarzo's linked to all these other guys. So,
okay. Yeah, like some guys who put a lot of Dio's had a lot of guys in his band, or Glenn Hughes could be linked to a lot of people. And I don't, yeah, we'd have to figure, we have to work that one out.
Yeah, you put Joe Bonamassa against, I don't know, Ray Gillen.
Yeah, and try to link them up. Okay, let's do that. Joe Bonamassa and Ray Gillen. All right, and write that down. And next week we'll see if we can link them together and come back and see if you guys can try that out there too. See if you can link those two. See how many steps you can get to link them.
Yeah.
I just figured it out. What's yours? Go ahead.
You know, he's in Black Country Communion with Glenn Hughes.
Uh huh.
Then, shoot, you can link Glenn Hughes. And see, was he in Black Sabbath at all?
Yes.
Yeah. So
link him with Tony Iommi, and Tony Iommi was with Ray Gillen. Ray Gillen was in Black Sabbath.
Right.
Yeah, that's four steps. Okay. All right. We'll have to figure
out. Yeah, that'd be hard to do. But, you know, we can try it off the top of our head and see.
All right. But, speaking of, you brought up Glenn Hughes just played the Whiskey. Unfortunately, I didn't go on Friday. But Bonamassa and Derek Serenian jumped up on stage and played with them.
Dang.
Oh, Whiskey's such a small club. If you're on the floor, I mean, it's two levels, but the upper level, you can't really see anything. But the bottom,
was it packed?
Yeah.
I bet.
Oh, man, I should have went. I know I should have went. The only problem is when you go to Whiskey, it's kind of like when I saw Skid Row, you're paying $30, $40 just to park.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah. I mean, tickets are reasonable, but yeah, the parking is just the same as the freaking ticket. especially on a Friday or Saturday night and off the Sunset Strip, it's expensive now to park. I remember when it was $5.
Yeah. You
walk a couple blocks. Now, a couple blocks, oh, you're talking 30 minimum.
Jeez, forget it.
Yes. No thank you.
Well, next show I will definitely have – well, I'm planning to have a review of the Mr. Big show in the Keswick Theater outside of Philly. So
that's cool. All right.
Yep.
And our next show today is the –
Six.
Yeah. Yours will be next because I'm seeing Extreme on the 24th. So,
okay.
So yeah, we'll do the Mr. Big. And you've never seen them, so.
Yeah, I have not, and I'm hoping this rash of illness they've had to postpone two shows. I'm hoping that it doesn't happen Friday.
Okay, I hope not.
Yeah.
I hope they're as good as they used to be. I saw them with both. I saw them with Paul Gilbert once. Off the Hey Man album, and I saw them with Richie Kotzen once and at the Roxy, and they're both great.
Well, this tour, they're doing the whole Lean Into It album.
Yeah.
Start to finish.
Which I like. I don't like all of the Lean In albums. There's some songs on Lean It I could do without.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Well, they have the Drill song and Green Tinted 60s Mind, so I'm good.
Yeah. But some of those other songs, oof. I know they play Take Cover, which I love. Oh
yeah. Well, we're in the third row, so I'm out of my mind excited about this show.
And I don't know if you've noticed, the drummer they have playing on this tour is unbelievable.
Really?
He's great. He's one of these guys who does instructional videos on YouTube.
Okay.
He lives in Indiana, and he can. They got him specifically because he can play and he can sing. Because the previous drummer, Pat Torpy, that was one of the main big parts of that band because he sang. So
yeah.
They would do four-part harmonies. And now, with this lineup now, they can do four-part harmonies again.
Nice.
And they are going to do the trade-off. If you haven't,
okay.
I don't know if you don't watch any videos, but they will do it where they switch instruments and play a song.
Okay.
So it's,
all right, well, the drummer has to be phenomenal if he's going to keep up.
Yeah.
Because you're not in a band with Billy Sheehan and Paul Gilbert and suck.
Yeah, he did a cool thing when they started this tour. if you look him up, I forgot his name. It's Virgil something. But he did, when they went to Japan, he did some stuff where he filmed him going around Japan and doing sound checks with the band and going, seeing the sights, because he can do that because nobody really knows who he is.
Yeah.
But he's fun. I guess nice. He's well-respected in the drumming community, so.
Well, it'll be cool to watch him.
Yeah, so.
We'll see Friday night.
So in 2 weeks, people, look for it. The Mr. Big Review.
Mr. Big Review. There you go.
For your buddy and pal, Danny. So. All right. I think that's it. It's time for time for you to go to bed and time for me to have dinner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Both good things.
All right. So people out there, thank you for listening to the show. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Just so people that aren't able to see Mark, he actually waved to you right now.
I don't know why. It's not that's stupid.
But he did wave, so.
I'm an idiot.
Wave back if you're listening on the radio.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I got to bust your chops.
Yeah. So, well, it seems like a lot of these podcasts now, you can watch the videos now. A lot of them are doing it that way. We're never going to do that. Nobody's going to watch us.
Oh, my God. No.
So we'll stick to what we do. We'll just.
I'd have to put a shirt on.
So you do have a shirt. Or is that your hair? Oh, my God.
Oof.
Yeah, well, my wife waxed my back, so.
Okay.
I used to not be hairy at all, but once I got married, man, I got hair. I don't know what the heck happened. Hair's growing out of my ears, ears, my back, my shoulders. What the hell?
I am hating the ear hair.
Yeah, I hate that you get that one straggling white hair on your ear, and it's curly, and you're trying to pull it as you're driving around.
You don't want it connected to brain.
Yeah.
That'd be bad.
Yeah. What happened to Mark? He was doing so well, and he pulled a hair out of his ear, and then,
Yep. Then he forgot elementary school.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah.
All right, on that note, we're going to go.
Yeah, on that happy note. happy Alzheimer's.
Yeah. Auf Wiedersehen.
Yeah, Auf Wiedersehen. Bye.